It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running for this, the 14th day of November, 2018. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us. That's where we keep the that's where we keep the chat room link, which is, should you use it and pick yourself out a screen name and a password, you will be immediately greeted by the likes of Hoghead and VT Bomb and Warrior Witch, and capably moderated by pinch hit midweek utility chat room moderator and all around great guy, Steve. From Georgistan, Sparky takes Wednesdays off because, well, the religion stuff kind of grosses him out. And I understand. That's, hell, it grosses me out. But it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And if you also, if you go over to headon.live, you'll find what? Yes, you'll find a link to PayPal. And that's how we keep this program on the air. Thanks going out this evening to our 14th of the month subscribers, Matt in San Francisco, and Ralphs. Thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Matt, for being partial sponsors of the program through the subscription function. If you would like to give Ralphs and Matt some company, we'd love to have your participation in the subscription program. Remember, if we could add one new subscriber between now and next October or so, I could I'd never have to talk about this fundraising stuff anymore. Wouldn't that be lovely? Yeah, it would be. But as it stands, thanks going out to Ralphs and to Matt. Thank you very kindly for being our 14th of the month subscribers. If you'd like to be a subscriber, just click that PayPal link. And then tick off that little, check that little box that says make this happen every month or language to that effect. And for every $10 a month subscriber, you're setting yourself back about a 20th or a 30th of a cup of corporate coffee or something like for every hour of programming or something on the order of a not quite half of a McDonald's dollar menu burger per day. The Horn remains, frankly, one of the best bargains in independent, liberal, progressive broadcasting. But as I said, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and the fact of the matter is, we've got a we're in a hole. The hole is $515 deep, brethren and sistren, and. The little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men down there in the Fellowship Hall kitchen that who work so diligently each and every Wednesday to bring forth something nummy would tremendously... Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Thank you, Marty. Thank you. Thank you for the reminder. Yes, I am. I'm Bob Kincaid. And they work diligently, at least on an imaginary basis, to create taste-tempting treats for... Fellowship Hall dinner every midweek for prayer meeting Wednesday, and today was no different. No. It's getting cold. The days are getting dark. I think my pineal gland is shrieking from the absence of sunlight. It's supposed to get a little bit better maybe over the weekend, so maybe I'll be able to, put on some sort of down stuff union suit and cavort in the yard and get a little sunlight on my face. But it's a toasty 55 degrees here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. And meanwhile, over in the Fellowship Hall kitchen, the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men did a Jim Dandy job, whooping up a great big ginormous pot of chicken and dumplings. That's always good on a day like this. And there were home-baked biscuits, and there were mashed potatoes, and gosh, some peas and carrots. A little bit of Jell-O salad on the front end, with some cottage cheese and pineapple and carrots in it. Yeah, right. And then for afters, well, the little old blue-haired ladies, recognizing that we are halfway through November and on our way to December, have begun to bone up, as it were, on their holiday baking skills, and their skills are mickle good. And so consequently, it was a big old tray of home-baked Toll House semi-sweet chocolate chip cookies with pecans and coconut flakes in them, and a tub of good no guar gum, no locust bean gum ice cream, so that what you did is you got a cookie and you scooped out the ice cream on it and you kind of patted it down. You put another cookie on top and you've got the world's most fantastic ice cream sandwich. The deacons were even willing to make their own ice cream sandwiches, and they wolfed them down in about two bites, and then, being deacons, they trundled their massive bulk up through the two flights of stairs and out into the parking lot, where they set about the business of smoking with the sinners. The sinners are out there, of course, smoking because they're getting practice for what's going to happen to them in the great beyond. They're going to do a lot of smoking because they are, after all, sinners, right? But we let them chong through three or four Marlboro Reds, lighten the one off the previous one, and so forth. But then Sister Carol Baker showed up at the vestibule door with the horn solar powered cattle prod crackling away, and not wanting to be touched by that, the deacons did in fact put wings to heel. And they went trundling and bumbling and stumbling past her through the vestibule, past that desiccating bowl of buttermints, and they're waiting down front here now as we get as we prepare for the offertory hymn. And they're waiting with the great big heavy brass-bound velvet-lined offering plates. They'll be passing them among the congregation. And brethren and sistren, just take it, push the little PayPal button in the bottom, and pass it on, because that's how we keep things going. And frankly, at $515 in the hole, it would be great if we could at least knock out one full day of broadcasting. Remember, it was 175 Monday, 200 yesterday, 200 today. And out of all of that, so that would be $575. Yeah, we've knocked out about $55 of that. So keep one eye scrunched, every head bowed and every eye closed. Keep one eye scrunched open a little bit so you can see the plate when it's coming at you, because it hurts when you get walloped with it. And I won't have the deacons block the doors or anything and pass out lots of tea to impose misery. That was just a disastrous idea the one time I tried that. But brethren and sistren, let's take this here fundraising deficit down, because these Friday on the Front Porch community made miracles get a little nerve wracking after a while, especially about mid month when there's other bills coming due with extreme prejudice. Okay, so there we stand. There we stand. Brother Minister of Music, if you would step forward and lead us in the offertory hymn. Brother Minister of Music, if you please. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around!
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, huts that riller all in the brawlers, in the brawler, in the brawler, brawlers, who would amen, glory, hallelujah. Brethren and sisters, I'm calling upon you now, as the deacons continue to move about the congregation. I'm calling upon you to get up off of your seats and onto your feet. Amen. Glory. And come on down that blood-red aisle and fall, brethren and sisters, upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Ponerized Pontiff, Munificent Mufti, Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid. And this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday from the Cathedral of Common Sense on the Horn. Amen and amen. Brethren and sistren, as we move into these here holiday seasons, with Thanksgiving not that far away, well, brethren and sistren, I need you to understand that the devil is on the march. The devil is. And you may be tempted, brethren and sistren, to think that there is a great change a coming in the House of Representing soon and very soon. Yes. But brethren and sistren, whether you realize it or not, there was no blue wave. No, glory, there was not. How do I know there was no blue wave? Well, Kat Kerr, the woman who claimed to pray away a hurricane but didn't, says, no, it was not a blue wave, that it were, in fact, a red tsunami.
This is a great shift of God already in our country. He has his hand on our country right now. And I can let you know he does have a plan with the red tsunami. And yes, it did happen. And no, I will not repent for saying that, because guess what? He hasn't repented.
I know. She's on a roll.
And he's not going to, because he knows his plan and what that means to him. The red tsunami.
Whom? Him? Trump? Oh, no. She's apparently thinks she's talking about the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky.
I mean, it did happen. God put where he wanted things to happen. The Senate, of course, we know, went red. That means it went Republican. And that's good news, because that's less trouble for Trump. But those who represented the blue.
Here's the thing, though. It didn't went red. It was already red. It's slightly less red now than it was prior to the election. So, you know, I'm having a little trouble here sorting out this here red tsunami of Kat Kerr. But let's try to muddle through, shall we?
Some of those Democrats do not want socialism in this country. Some on purpose.
Well, there are some of those Democrats who she says don't want socialism in this country are a little late to the party, because there's Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the Veterans Administration, the entire United States military, inadequately but still publicly funded roads and bridges and infrastructure and water treatment and air pollution controls, such as they are. Those are all socialist in nature. So you gotta wonder about the little tweety things that are fluttering around in Kat Kerr's noggin.
On purpose. Now this might be a flip for you. People are always accusing Democrats who flipped a Republican just so they could take advantage of it or hide in that area. But I can tell you, some did flip on purpose from Republican to Democrat to see inside the Democratic Party what was going on. See, God does have scouts also. And so those who were sent...
God has scouts? Are they all boys? Are there... No, never mind. Good God, this is... But somewhere out there are Republican voters who are going, yes, praise Jesus, yes. When it's fairly clear that this woman would probably benefit from some substantial medication therapy.
As scouts, and those who got elected because they are scouts in the Democratic Party will make a huge difference in the House. So open your eyes and open your ears to the possibilities that God has another plan besides yours. He did send himself in the Senate and some in the Democratic Party. So pray for both places.
Wait. The great big bearded juvenile delinquent is a member of the Senate now? which one? I mean, I'm pretty sure it's not Mitch McConnell. Because, well, Mitch, this is challenging. Tis a puzzlement.
Pray for what God wants to do in our country. Stop picking it apart. Stop picking people apart and leave the prophets alone. It is not your job to judge them. It is not your job to demand that they repent for something.
That's mighty strong words coming from a probably 70-some-odd-year-old woman with pink hair, but not your job to judge them. Well, yeah, it kind of is. That's what we call voting. Voting is a judgment. And so there was a pretty big judgment hammer dropped on the Republicans, and there's just no getting around it unless you're, you know, Cat Kerr, and you look around and the wall, I got a feeling when she looks around, the walls are breathing and the sky's all paisley colored. But they can't handle reality. Cat Kerr or any of the others. But from the they can't handle reality department comes our old buddy, Coach Dave Daubenmeyer. You remember Dave, the man who's convinced that college women's softball programs lead to large posteriors, short haircuts on women, and rampant lesbianism. Yeah, that Coach Dave. He can't cope.
I really, really believe this, even after watching the election last night. First of all, I can't, Lord, help me out here. Those things have to be so rigged. Those elections are so rigged. Can somebody tell me how you could possibly do any polling in America today? What, are they calling your cell phones?
Of course, if the Republicans had maintained the majority in the House, he would be screaming about how God had influenced the elections to make sure that Jesus had, well, you know, we're all familiar enough with Coach Dave Daubenmeyer, which, by the way, he's fronted up as Coach Dave Live, Coach Dave from Florida Disaster Relief. Really? That qualifies as disaster relief, sitting there prattling on, I don't believe the elections. Right, yeah.
How could they possibly be doing any polling, and yet, at the end of the day, the polling was pretty accurate? Something smells on that one, okay? Something just doesn't smell very good. And I want you to understand this. It's easier to fix precinct by precinct, district, congressional district elections. It's easier to fix those than it is a national election like for the president of the United States. That's a little harder to fix. But you can fix precinct by precinct elections.
Now, just ponder that logic for a minute or so. Precinct by precinct is how people vote in presidential elections, too. But he's got some, I guess, small army of demon-inspired liberals, despite the overwhelming turnout in districts that wound up turning from red to blue, my head hurts.
And something stinks last night. You will never convince me. I wish I had my tinfoil hat on. You'll never convince me that there are that many people. The condition that America's in, the way America's on the upswing, that many people would come out and vote Democrat. I'm sorry. I don't believe it.
And see, that's the funny thing. When you live in a demon-haunted world like Coach Dave Daubenmeyer does, facts and knowledge are inconsequential. The only thing that matters is the insane, batshit, crazy stuff that slops around betwixt his ears and passes for brains that he believes. Because believing. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Sister Tracy is pissed off at the little old blue-haired ladies. Coconut? Really, Bob? Way to fuck up a perfectly good Toll House chocolate chip cookie. Why'd you do it, Bob? Quit telling us how to eat chocolate chip cookies, Bob. But just to show how much I love and forgive you for your obvious transgression of this being prayer meeting Wednesday and all, I'm going to send you $20 to get tonight's fundraising going. Do me a favor. The next time the little old blue-haired ladies make chocolate chip cookies, make sure there's a batch without any coconut, please. Love, your fellow foodie, Tracy. Thank you, Tracy. I will convey your displeasure to the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men back in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. I will tell them that henceforth, Toll House cookies must be made without coconut. I had no idea. They already took the little squeeze bottles of mayonnaise off the table. I mean, daggum. But thank you for getting us started. So that'll take us down under the $500 mark. That's huge. Thank you, Tracy. And hopefully somebody will come along and match Tracy's 20, and we'll get from $495 down to, well, it'd be great if we could knock out a day or two's fundraising as the deaconate continues to pass the plates amongst the faithful. No gripes about the orange Jell-O salad with the carrot and the pineapple and the cottage cheese, but I'll remember that. Don't F with the Toll House cookies. Mm-hmm. Well, from there, from Coach Dave Daubenmeyer, let's go in. I'll go over and check in on the head grifter from Liberty Council. Sit, Liberty, sit.
Well,
yeah, you remember Liberty Council. They're the legal grift that poured so much effort into trying to make sure that people who loved each other couldn't get married in Round County, Kentucky. You may also recall that their star darling client, Sister Clerk Kim Davis, the multiple adulteress, the muldulteress, well, there's a word, recently got her ass handed to her in that self-same Round County by one of the people that she so desperately wanted to discriminate against. Yeah. Well, because it's all tax-free, hallelujah, Liberty Council and their head grifter, Matt Staver, have a podcast. They do. And Matt Staver wants you to know that even though America is moving past the kind of hatred that he promulgates on a daily basis, the homosexuals know who they are.
Under the guise of tolerance, we see anti-Christian intolerance and bigotry run rampant here.
I'd love to see some of that rampant running anti-Christian bigotry and intolerance. Of course, I can't, because it exists only in the thin gray settlings that slosh about between the ears of Matt Staver, head grifter of the Liberty Council, and otherwise pass for brames. Because in Matt Staver's world, if two people who love each other and happen to be gay get married, somehow that's intolerance against the bigotry that is inherent among the evangelicals. See how it works?
Again, at its core, this is a divergence. This is a battle between opposing worldviews. On one end, there's moral relativism. On the other side, it says that there is a sovereign God, that morality is absolute.
Which is an entirely bullshit dichotomy. Because on one hand, there are actual people who follow the teachings of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, who at the same time acknowledge that two people who happen to be of the same gender can love each other and commit to each other for all of their lives. You know, I remember all those years that the hate-filled homophobes and the bigots and the freaks and the, well, you know, the Christians, railed against the gay bathhouses and the rampant sex that goes on there. And in fact, they went on and on to the point that you kind of wondered if maybe they'd either A, been in a gay bathhouse, or B, desperately wanted to. But they didn't. They didn't like people, gay people, having sex sort of on a hookup basis with each other. So along came some gay folks who said, "Well, that's cool, you know, because we'd like to settle down and just, you know, be monogamous and stuff." And oh fuck no, oh no, oh Jesus will hate that. Jesus definitely won't like that. Jesus won't. No, Jesus hates slow in the driveway. And so, consequently, when it was finally recognized that two people who love each other and get married is a matter of constitutional freedom, well, one, that made Matt Staver, chief grifter of Liberty Council, even more wealthy, because it meant that he could continue to bang away and fundraise on the backs of people who simply love each other. Because Christianity, yeah. But it also meant that he got to continue pumping out the most repulsive and toxic sort of hate.
There is truth in those who stand for truth, according to the Ministry of Tolerance, to use the Orwellian language. They must be destroyed.
And you know, it's really tragic. I mean, you talk about a crisis.
Now, this is Holly Mead, and she's the Director of Communications for the Liberty Council Grift.
We see this happening in the church, the place where it should be a light. We should be standing up for God's truth and righteousness. You see the church caving to this agenda.
Yeah.
Yes.
You see that? Yeah, but see, you know, what's really fascinating here is that you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You can read the Gnostic Gospel of Thomas. And you won't find Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, saying a blessed thing, literally, a blessed thing, about gay people. Nothing. Zip, zilch, nada. Bupkis. But there Jesus hates all the same things that they hate, so consequently,
that happening in the Roman Catholic Church,
yes.
Too. It's deeper than most people had anticipated when the former nuncio, Vigano, came out and has issued numerous statements detailing what's happening in the hierarchy of some of the leaders within the Roman Catholic Church worldwide to promote and support homosexuality and same-sex activity.
Pagan sexuality.
Pagan sexuality, yeah, and then...
Pagan sexuality. Jesus Christ. Because, you know, I don't know about where you live, but here where I am, there's a temple of Athena, and a temple of Olympian Zeus, and a temple of Apollo, and a... They don't cotton much to old Dionysus around here too much, but there's one on every corner. And they got them some pagan sexuality going on in there. Never mind the fact that the Christian church stole the idea of a perpetual virgin from an aspect of the Greek goddess Athena, Athena Parthenos, Athena, the virgin. Yeah, that's where Mary got to be a virgin from. Because, of course, remember, since we're entering the holiday season, when the Gospels refer to Mary, the term in Hebrew that is used to mean virgin that we get as, you know, no, it just means young girl, Alma, young girl. Doesn't mean virgin. Because, see, back in the day, back in the era in which, if he really existed, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, wandered about. A young girl, Alma, did not necessarily mean virgin, because young girls didn't get to stay virgin for very long at all, because they were married off in one of those traditional family values biblical wedding ceremonies in which her daddy would trade her to some other guy who had a son in exchange for some fucking goats. That's a back reference to last night. That was, I got a chuckle or two. Yes. And consequently, she didn't get to, she may have been a young girl, but, you know, that's no virgin, that's his wife. Because the essence of a biblical marriage is, in fact, a property transfer. Isn't it hilarious that we non-believers can know these things, but the people who profess to love that book so much, of course they don't read it any, can they'll sort of.
That's happening in outside of the Roman Catholic Church, too, in a number of Protestant groups where you have people running around the country or in their churches supporting same-sex marriage. You cannot support same-sex marriage. You can support people.
Right.
Yeah, no. Churches, under the First Amendment, can support pretty much anything they want to. See, that's the problem. This guy is out there essentially Protestant excommunicating congregations that are welcoming to married gay couples at the same time that he refuses to recognize that he doesn't have the right to do that, to declare what is a church and isn't a church. But God, he'd love to, because after all, he's a theocrat. And he would love to have an Iranian-style theocracy in this country as long as he got to be the Christian Ayatollah who was telling people what and who and where and how and when to... Yes. That's true, Robert in Australia with a note. America's Cathedral. Let's not forget America's Cathedral, Bob, at 11 Wall Street, New York, New York, 1005. That's America's true religion. Yes, indeed. And a reminder, no coconut in the chocolate chip cookies, Bob. Thank you, Tracy. Marty heard don't fuck with the toll house. Is that anywhere near don't fuck with the babysitter? Non-obligatory adventures in babysitting reference. And then, Marty, because just much as is the case with me, everything is a back reference to a movie line with Marty. Marty adds, pagan? People against goodness and normalcy? That pagan? From the horrible, horrible, terrible Dragnet movie with Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks? Those pagans? Right, with the sheep legs and the... Right.
Right.
And
love people.
And love individuals. We all have different flaws and...
Now, hold on a minute here. I forgot to issue the hockey puck warning, especially... And I know y'all are kind of used to it and stuff,
well,
but it
running
doesn't
around
make
the country
doesn't make it any less disgusting. Hockey puck warning for primarily the gay community members of the Horn Family Community Congregation, but also for all decent human beings, which is pretty much the entirety of the Horn Family Community Congregation. Hockey puck warning, hockey puck warning, hockey puck warning.
Or in their churches supporting same-sex marriage. You cannot support same-sex marriage. You can support people.
Right.
And
love people.
And love individuals. We all have different flaws and different struggles that we deal with, but that doesn't mean that you support certain activity that is contrary to Scripture any more than you would support.
Here it comes. Any more than you would support what, Matt Staver?
But that doesn't mean that you support certain activity that is contrary to Scripture any more than you would support someone, you would love somebody who's engaged in an adulterous affair, but you don't support that.
Okay, so you can love somebody. You know, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians like Matt Staver should probably not get near microphones, because he is, of course, always in the hand of the goddess of irony, and that's proof. You would love somebody who's engaged in an adulterous affair, but you don't support that. Well, you know, when you're loving somebody who's in an adulterous affair, odds are you're in one too. Just saying.
Or pedophilia. You don't support that.
And there it was. Or pedophilia. You don't support that. No, Holly Mead.
Deal with, but that doesn't mean that you support certain activity that is contrary to Scripture, any more than you would support someone, you would love somebody who's engaged in an adulterous affair, but you don't support that.
Or pedophilia. You don't support that.
Love ultimately is to the individual person, but you don't support certain activities and behaviors. Some things are just simply wrong. And the issue of same-sex activity is directly contrary to the Scripture at the very core.
Of course, it's not. It's not contrary to Scripture at the very core. Asked one time to explain the entire Torah, the great Rabbi Hillel said, "Don't do things to others that you would hate to have done to yourself. The rest, he said, is commentary." Interestingly, there are some biblical scholars who note that apparently somewhere along the way, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi, studied under somebody who had studied under somebody who studied under Hillel, because that's how it winds up in basically the same idea winds up in the Gospels. Lee in New York, opposing Scripture. "Hi, Bob. So don't oppose Scripture like buying your bride, owning slaves, and banning the consumption of," and I'll add the word yummy, Lee didn't include that, "banning the consumption of yummy shellfish." Now, if we were one of those highfalutin megachurch cathedrals, by God, the little old blue-haired ladies would be serving shrimp and lobsters and scallops and who knows what all the time. But, you know, we're not, so we have chicken and dumplings, homemade biscuits. Yeah. So just to be clear, this grifter, Matt Staver, who wants everybody in the entire United States to believe exactly as he thinks they should believe, and has made that abundantly clear. Well, he thinks two women who want to pick out a China pattern, or a couple of guys who want to spend the rest of their lives together, get all married up, he thinks they're the same as an adulterer, or what's worse, a pedophile. Oddly enough, you never hear Matt Staver inveighing against the actual real pedophiles in the Christian community, or God only knows, the real adulterers in the Christian community. Just the ones that live in his head, and he's absolutely sure are gay, 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 gay. But he's still upset.
Because human relationships of man and woman created by God has that unitive component, the two become one, the procreative component where two individuals are blessed with the ability to create another person in the image of God, and a spiritual component that was addressed in Ephesians chapter 5.
Which, interestingly, doesn't contain a single word in it by Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi.
So when you try to deconstruct gender and essentially say gender doesn't matter or it's just a construct of your mind as opposed to how you are created, it is a direct attack at the very fundamental principles of Christianity and God and the existence of God and our Creator.
Yeah.
So this is not some tangential issue for Christians or for believers in the scriptures of believers in God. This is a core issue.
No, it isn't. It is a core bigotry of people who insist upon a demonic interpretation of words that were written 2,000 years ago by people who didn't understand why lightning happened. Right? Yeah. So, brethren and sistren, you know, let's all be clear. The love of Christ Jesus is on display there via a guy who makes a fortune running around and filing lawsuits in support of some of the most vicious bigotry on display here in the waning years of the second decade of the 21st century. Then there's the Alliance Defending Freedom. Mm-hmm. They represented Jack Phillips. He's the guy who, and Alliance Defending Freedom is another legal grift, similar to but separate from the grift they practice over at Liberty Council. Sit, Liberty, sit. Because it's a good dollar. It's a big dollar, that tax-free legal grift. Yeah, Jack Phillips was represented by Alliance Defending Freedom in the Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commissioner Donnybrook. And there's a nasty right wing sleaze machine called the Daily Wire, and they've been riding on the back of the Masterpiece Cake Shop case as part of their grift, and it's all tax free, hallelujah. And they're trying to get people all head up. Because Jared Polis has been elected governor of the state of Colorado. It's a historic election, Jared Polis's ascension to the Colorado governor's office, because it makes him the first out-of-the-closet gay man to be a governor of one of the 50 petty kingdoms that we call states in this country. And having a gay man as governor of Colorado is driving outfits like the Alliance Defending Freedom and the Daily Wire quite around the bend. In point of fact, well, they're shrieking that somehow you're not going to get to be a Christian in Colorado anymore because there's a gay man in the governor's office. So enter Paul Bois, B-O-I-S, at the Daily Wire, who wrote something that was called Colorado Elects First Openly Gay Governor in U.S. History as the State Persecutes Christians. Remember, over in evangelical world, persecuting a Christian is anybody who ever brings some evangelical and insufficiently hot or insufficiently cold, depending on the nature of the order, cup of coffee. because we are surprisingly short on lions these days. He writes, "The ascension of Polis in Colorado comes at a time when the state has increasingly positioned itself as an enemy of religious liberty, most notably in its persecution of Baker Jack Phillips." Yeah, poor Jack Phillips wandering around out there on one leg stump because, you know, the lions chewed it off. Yeah, he's only got one ear from where the jackals gnawed the other one. No, Jack Phillips is just fine. Jack Phillips is better off now than he was going in because it turned out to be a very good grift for him. And I know we've got a number of members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who reside out in Colorado. And I have not gotten any emails. Not, for instance, from our buddy Kevin in Colorado Springs. Not from our buddy Johannes. Nope. No emails saying, "Bob, you ought to get on out here. The Christian persecuting is fine." Why, we threw 15 evangelicals in front of a thundering herd of buffalo the other day, and, well, there just weren't nothing left but greasy spots by the time they had passed. No, I'm not getting those emails. They ran Jack Phillips ads before the election. The Family Policy Alliance did. "Assaults on Jack's faith and yours could get even worse if Boulder's own Jared Polis becomes governor. The decision Colorado voters make will impact Jack Phillips and other people of faith in Colorado and beyond for years to come." Then they said... they sent an email, the Family Policy Alliance did, back in October. They said, "Electing Jared Polis means that things could get even worse for Jack and other people of faith in Colorado." They're trying to whip up the evangelicals to see Jared Polis as a threat. And after, say, Cesar Sayoc and Robert Bowers, among others, we get a pretty good idea of how good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Christians respond to threats now, don't we? Yeah, we do. And in a case of 200 proof projection, well, we've got Andrew Womack, who's trying to sort of gin the whole idea of the Clinton body count back up.
"There's a lot of people who are conservatives that if they oppose the liberal establishment, they wind up dead."
Yeah. I'm assuming that Andrew Womack comes from somewhere down south of the Cornpone Curtain, back behind it, you know. Now, he just says it, but, you know, who are we talking about? Well, wait and see.
"Even to Supreme Court justices."
Yeah, you know, we don't like to think that there is that capability in people, but think of it. If your party platform is to kill unborn babies.
Yeah.
Which the Democratic Party platform, you know, isn't, but... In this freak's mind, or what passes for one, it is. But did you can't? They'll kill Supreme Court justices. You know who they're talking about there, right? Fat Dead Tony Scalia, who apparently was murdered by liberal molecules of cholesterol there at that hunting compound in Texas, where he went to kill things for fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there anything that you can't do? If you can mentally justify killing an innocent unborn baby, is there anything you can't mentally justify? What's voter fraud? I mean, it's nothing compared to killing a baby. And so it's a moral thing. And
I've heard stories, and
I've heard stories. Now we're going to hear about the stories.
I'm not going to mention the name, but it's a very well-known person that apparently 45 people who have been associated with them have wound up dead. If I had 45 of my associates that wound up dead after doing business with me, somebody would be investigating me.
Mm-hmm. We're about a nanosecond away from the guy starting to roll on the floor and juggle snakes and shriek about the basement of Comet Ping Pong Pizza in Washington, D.C., where there's, you know, no basement. Oh, that's just what they want you to think. It's cleverly disguised. Did you never see the opening credits to Get Smart? Because that 45 people have been associated with them and wound up dead. That is the Clinton body count, which was such a specious piece of garbage that even Jerry Falwell tried to put distance back, you know, back before he went to hell, if there really is a hell. He tried to put distance between him and it because they were out there hustling it. But there's an easy enough explanation for why they understand these things and we don't. Just ask Mark the Firefighter Prophet Taylor. He'll tell you.
Talk about the Eric Holder thing. What was your thing about seeing Eric Holder on
Sunday? He saw Eric Holder's thing? Oh, goddess of irony, you are a great goddess. We'll have to sacrifice another whoopee cushion and rubber chicken to you about midnight this evening.
On some in front of JFK picture.
Right. He changed his Twitter background to you see him standing there with his arms crossed in front of JFK's gravesite, and he's got his hands together with his two fingers like he's given a code. And so
really? Like he's given a code? Like he's given a code with two fingers.
You know, people aren't stupid now.
Stop for a minute. Do you think this? He's given the order to have the same thing to happen to Donald Trump that happened to JFK? Is that what you're surmising, or what?
It's not looking good. So let's put it that way. It looks like there is something being given off in the spirit by what he's doing. These guys have code words. They have symbolisms. I mean, that
symbolisms. They've got more than one symbolism. Multiple symbolisms. Golly, Sergeant Carter!
They don't have to say come out right out and say something to activate these people.
You know what's funny is it kind of reminds me of the Josh Bernstein audio that I ran last night where he said, you know, I don't have to tell you what to do. You can read through the lines. And then goes on to talk about right-wingers killing cops. Apparently the white wingers have symbolisms too. And motivation. You know, Uncle Jed, I was just over on the Brando set. You know what they got over there, Uncle Jed? Motivation. They're just swimming in it.
That's what people don't understand. I've been saying this for a long time, is that, look, all you got to do, somebody who's under mind control or like these active shooters, I prophesied that about the Pulse nightclub shooting. It wasn't coincidence that you had the Bilderbergs meeting the same week that Pulse nightclub shooting went down.
Shazam! Never mind the fact that these active shooter situations are usually perpetrated by people who are ideologically aligned with old Mark Taylor, the firefighter prophet. You know, like Robert Bowers up in Pittsburgh. That weren't no liberal Democrat Nazi. Because there aren't any liberal Democrat Nazis. They tend to vote Republican and think very highly of Donald Trump. Yes. But, as they say in Animal House, shut up. He's on a roll.
It's because they're sending this stuff out. They're into the highest forms of witchcraft on Earth. So all the stuff gets activated in the spirit. I've done active shooter response training through with Leos and fire service.
Law enforcement officers.
So, I mean, we've done all this. And you hear the stories. You see what's going on with these active shooters, what's going on in their mind. This is total demonic. I mean, I could go into a story right now with one, but I'm not going to do it. We don't have time. But, I mean, these guys are totally demonic when it comes to this stuff. So they're.
You know, I'd think a story like that would be important enough that the host would say, no, we got time. Tell this very important story, Mark. No, we'll save that for another clip, I guess.
Using the mind control, they're using these activation codes to activate these guys, like the red line. And then Rachel Maddow, whatever her name is, she repeats this thing, and now you've got all these protests going on across, supposedly trying to get across the country. That was the code to get these guys out there.
The red line activation codes. I'm kind of itching for an activation code. Fallout 76 is out now, and I want to play it, but I don't have the scratch laying around to buy it. And you need an activation code to be able to play Fallout 76. You know, Fallout 76 is set right here in almost level west by Cold Trump Juniastan in a post-apocalyptic environment, which means it's pretty much set in West Virginia as it presently exists. So, what's this about Eric Holder changing his... Huh? Yeah, so now there's a picture of Eric Holder standing in front of JFK's grave with the eternal flame there. And he's holding his hands together. And I'm a lot lost. I I got a pretty good monitor here, but I can't see the secret high sign that Eric Holder is giving because it's kind of a long shot. Tis a puzzlement. Yeah. His arms aren't crossed in front of JFK's gravesite. But that doesn't really matter, because facts don't matter to these right-wing freaknicks. He's got an access code. He's got an activation code. It's not an access code. It's an activation code. Yeah. Ain't enough liquor in the world. Ron and Raleigh, have I mentioned that these yahoos are without sane? I think that's a new thing, Ron, being without sane. Because they are so without sane. Mm-hmm. But that business about activation codes, just let me refresh our recollections and go back to old Josh Bernstein last night.
The lines. I am a huge supporter of the police and law enforcement.
Okay, let me back up just a little bit more to the part about read through the lines.
I will leave it at that. I don't want to say much more, but I'm sure you understand and you can read through the lines. I am a huge supporter of the police and law enforcement. I always have been, and I always will be.
But
I'll tell you right now, I won't shed one tear, not one tear, if I find out that an officer is wounded or killed trying to confiscate weapons from law-abiding citizens in any state.
Yeah. That would be your activation code there, I think. But it can't be an activation code because a white winger's doing it. Steve from Georgia Stan says, Fallout 76 looks badass. Bethesda released the John Denver cover tune because it was starting to chart. Wow. Lee in New York says, activation code. Sorry to tell you that Kanye came up with the activation code. It is 000000. Damn it. You got to quit giving out the activation codes. Lee, there might be wingnuts listening. Shh. Bill in Allentown, killer liberals. Didn't they kill Ted Pantload Nugent? I remember him saying that if Obama was reelected, he, Pantload, would be dead in a year or in prison. Damn, Obama never got around to it, like wearing his comfortable shoes to walk the picket line and stuff. Yeah. I know. Hey, thank you, Charlene. Thank you so much. As the plates continue to pass, Charlene just jumped in alongside Tracy and took us down to $470 to go. Thank you, Charlene. That is tremendously helpful. Thank you so very much indeed. Okay, let's take a minute and run over to the phones and check in with Reggie down in Georgia Stan. Hey, Reggie.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm good.
Me from the kids. Go ahead, Mark.
I said no. It's good to hear from you again.
Okay, man. Well, it's me from the Canada, Georgia, yet once again with yet another NRA report for you. It says here on Media Matters, which I'm looking at right now, even as we're speaking to each other, that the fatal police shooting of Jamel Roberson disproved the NRA's favorite myth. NRA TV struggles to not admit the obvious. And guess whose picture is up there again?
Oh, I'm looking at it. It's Dana Lush.
Yes, and there's a video clip of it this time, which is 4 minutes and 36 seconds long.
Yeah, 4 minutes and 36 seconds of pure insanity.
Yeah, and she has a guest on her show, Relentless. And she'd rather have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. You know, like money, the gun, I mean. Even though she's a bit concerned about being an open carrier. You know what I mean, Bob?
Oh, yeah, but see, she doesn't have to worry about the cop. One, if she ever heard a shot fired in anger, she'd be a Romulan. I mean, real quick. Nothing, we wouldn't see anything of her but asshole and elbows. She'd be going so fast running away.
But like the Flash?
Yeah, exactly. But if it should happen that she actually used her Freedom Protector to be a good person with a gun taking down a bad guy with a gun, and she was keeping the bad guy with the gun down when the cops showed up, they wouldn't blow her away, Reggie.
No, because she's a white girl. Because
she's a white woman. Yes. And because she's white, period.
Yes, who claims to be of Native American ancestry. But as the late Clara Peller once said, where's the beef? Where's the proof?
Yeah, well, you know, she can claim that all day long, but we now have the Warren rule that says unless you are a member of an enrolled member of a tribe, you cannot claim Native American ancestry.
Yeah, that goes for Dana Lunch, too. If Elizabeth wants to take the test...
Sauce for the goose is sauce for the Nazi.
Yeah. And if she had to take the test, Dana Lowe should, too. And as you said, people like her go in the backyard at night, possibly before, even after dinner and dessert, and they pull out their weapons and shoot cans off their, you know, picket fence or gate or something, playing G.I. Joe, Rambo, RoboCop, and the Terminator. You know what I mean? Since she loves guns so damn much. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
She claims that she's a lawful, responsible gun owner.
And, you know, she may be until that moment comes when she decides to blow away somebody at a movie theater. And then the L will fall right off of lawful, and she'll just be another awful gun owner that the National Ruble Association shills for day in and day out.
Yeah, but she works for them, like you said. She works for them. And she has a radio talk show, too, out in Dallas, Texas. And she said that she had to move because she was being threatened by people.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
But, you know, she was being threatened by us on the left side. You know, people protesting at her house and whatnot.
Oh, poor baby.
Yeah, poor baby. But if maybe she wasn't such an evil, rotten person, maybe they wouldn't be doing this to her and her family. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's kind of like what Alexander just said to me. Jamel Robertson was cold-blooded murdered by racist cops. Being black while in possession of a gun, despite him being in legal possession of a gun for the purposes of his job.
Right. And she had some guy on there who, I guess, he trains people how to use weapons safely and properly and correctly.
The cops are the ones who apparently needed the training, because even though everybody in the bar was screaming at the cops, he's the good guy, he did the right thing, he is security, they wasted Jamel Robertson anyway.
So he shot him down like a rabid dog, right?
Yeah.
Shot him dead like a rabid dog, for no apparent reason.
Well, no. Time out, Reggie. It's not no apparent reason. There is a very apparent reason that they shot him down.
He was black.
He was a black man with a firearm.
Yeah, I wonder, do people like Dana Lowe feel sorry for him? Well, I wonder what would happen if it happened to her and her family. Would she change her tune? I mean, was she singing a different tune?
Did Steve Scalise change his tune?
No.
After he was no, of course not. He's a bigger shill for the National Ruble Association than he was before.
Yeah, just like Wayne LaPierre. Yeah, I wonder whatever happened to him.
Oh, Wayne DePeter is still there in Fairfax.
Right.
All they did was they brought in a new president in the form of Ollie North.
Oh, great. Another right-wing nut. I wonder if Charlton Heston rolling over in his grave.
No, because Charlton Heston was a right-wing nut, too. Hey, Reggie, we got him rolling in now. You got folks fired up, man. Let's talk soon, all right?
All right, man. I just wanted to share you that latest NRA news report.
We'll probably take a listen to the audio here in a minute. Thanks a lot, man. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, there's a video clip, too, of it.
Yeah.
There's a video clip, too, of it.
Yeah, okay. But I just do audio here on the radio.
Okay.
All right.
Don't forget to play it now, Bob.
All right. We'll do it. Later, Reggie.
All right, man.
Bye now. Reggie calling from Georgia. And he, it's disgusting. But there's nothing new in that. And what's more on this broadcast, we'll just, get the hockey puck, get the anti-emetic, get ready.
I worry about this as, you know, a concealed carrier. I worry about this as someone who, you know, I've done a lot of training, and I always make sure that, you know, I have my skills up to speed. If heaven forbid, you know, I'd rather have it, not need it, than need it, not have it if in that situation. But
that's one of those big National Ruble Association talking points. I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. You can say that about a lot of things, I guess. I mean, it's, you know, kind of like having some, you know, you're there in the kitchen, you're working, and you're doing, and, you know, up there in the shelf is your bottle of Lowry's seasoned salt. I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Yeah. Same thing goes for Old Bay and 9mm fucking Glocks. Rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Of course, we know from the origin story of the National Ruble Association itself that it was the need to teach people not to run away when the bullets were flying that occasioned the foundation of the National Ruble Association. Marksmanship and not throwing down your rifle and running for your dear life in the midst of battle. But she's a little worried, you know. She says, I worry about this as a concealed carrier. Yeah. But she doesn't have to worry, as Reggie pointed out, because she's a white lady. The cops are not going to come barreling into a bar or anywhere else and shoot the white lady. Mm-mm. And then there's also the fact that she doesn't have to worry because she's not male. And most of your mass murderers are, of course, white males.
I'll be frank with you. Stories like this make me worry a little bit. And not just for, you know, for all Americans.
I love the a little bit part, don't you? Stories like this make her worry a little bit, but not a lot. Because after all, she's not a black male, so she doesn't have to spend a whole lot of time worrying. She just worries a little bit. She's just worries a little bit about a man ripped away from his family when he was trying to do the right thing, but was wasted by the cops.
Americans, black Americans, white Americans, men and women, because this is one of the...
Black Americans, white Americans, men and women, all lives matter, y'all! There was no doubt about Jamel Robertson. Jamel Robertson was a black American. But she worries about black Americans, white Americans, because, see, she'd lose her job if she actually said, hey, we got a problem in this country with black men getting blown away by the police, and maybe that whole Black Lives Matter thing is actually something real.
I think one of the concerns that concealed carry holders have. So how should concealed carriers look at this particular story? And because, you know, again, it makes me worried. And if I'm feeling a little nervous about this, I would imagine other people are, too.
Well, you know, your average concealed carry, pasty-faced, doughy white person worries about it the way they worry about whether they've got their Lowry's seasoned salt or not, what with the holidays coming up. Not much. Because there's not much for him to worry about. Remember the black man with the BB gun in his hand in Ohio? At Walmart? Cops ran in, blew him the hell away. BB gun? Toy? Remember Tamir Rice? That guy, the one cop, by the way, he's been rehired by another community in Ohio who said, well, he wasn't convicted or nothing. We figured we might as well just hire him. I know, wrong accent. Yeah, you remember how the cops said, well, you know, we really couldn't tell those people. You know, they might be 12 years old or they might be 42 and it might be a toy pistol or it might be the real thing. So what you got to do early on is just blow them the fuck away.
No question. And, you know, we had a very similar situation happen here in Indiana where I live very recently where there was a home invasion.
Yeah, there was a home invasion, says bald white dude who could never be mistaken for a black man and blown away. I mean, why didn't they at least bring on their token black guy, Coleon Noir, to talk about this? Instead, they found a guy who's actually fucking whiter than me. And I'm really white. Oh, but we had a thing. We had a situation here in Indiana.
And the person in the home called 911 and was out in the front door but had a gun in his hand at the time the police officers arrived. Police officers shot the homeowner and killed him. So very similar situation. You know, in the personal protection courses that I teach and a lot of the training I've taken, you know, I've taught and I've certainly been taught that if you can possibly avoid it, you do not want to have a gun in your hand when responding police officers show up.
So it's Jamel Robertson's fault because he had a gun in his hand because he was keeping the bad guy down on the ground by virtue of the persuasive power of a precariously perched pistol. And if only he had thrown the pistol away and the bad guy had... Wow, that falls apart real fast, doesn't it?
Even if you're the good guy. Now here, he's holding someone, you know, against their will. Did he have the ability?
Wow, he was holding the bad guy against his will. Way to jump out in defense of the bad guy, National Ruble Association white guy. Jesus.
Ability to put that gun away or not have that gun in his hand or get that gun back in the holster before police officers arrive. You know, if I don't want to second guess anyone without.
Well, let's do second guess a minute, because even if he'd holstered the pistol and just used manual force to keep the dude on the ground, cops still would have blown his brains out because black guy, because Black Lives Matter.
Having more facts, but if there was any opportunity to get that gun out of...
Yeah, without having more facts, and now let me, without any facts whatsoever, go on and run my mouth some more.
...hand, not in the sight of police officers when they show up. We always want to try to do that, because unfortunately, this isn't the first time that someone survived a potentially deadly attack and was completely lawful in what they did, but lost their life because of confusion by responding police officers.
Confusion. Yeah, that's what it was. Confusion.
I am so glad that you brought that up, Guy, because in all of these DG, and I'm sure that you can talk a little bit about this as a last question for you, in some of the cases that you've handled, because normally, in everything that I've read, whenever there's been a defensive gun usage and someone's holding someone, there's some distance there. You know, there's at least, you know, 5 to 3 feet between the individuals. This, I mean, Robertson was on this guy. He had his knee on his back, and that makes it a little bit harder for him.
Oh, it's the black guy's fault. Because he was actually keeping the other guy down. If only he'd stood back and kept the gun pointed at him. Well, I'll tell you what, old Dana Lush is doing everything in her power to make it Jamel Robertson's fault, isn't she? I mean, you know, they believe in gun rights. For certain people. You know, certain non-urban people. Urban means, right? Yeah.
If this, and who knows if this guy still, we don't even know if this guy still, the criminal still had his gun in his hand. We don't know that either. And then police show up. You don't really have a lot of time to make sure you're in a safe position. If that criminal can access that firearm immediately, you kind of, so I don't want to speculate, but at the same time.
Well, you're about 2 minutes and 34 seconds late for that, Dana. You don't want to speculate. Jesus. Let's just get one thing clear. As long as the National Ruble Association exists in its current form, we are never going to have any meaningful solution to this problem. Now, we got rid of a few of their paid supporters there in the House of Representatives, but they're still plenty strong in the Senate of the United States. And God knows, with the hammer and tongs approach that the Trump regime has used in cramming weirdo white-wing judges onto the court, you know, with the connivance of the Heritage Foundation and the Federalist Society, it's going to be damn difficult. But the heart and soul of the problem is the National Ruble Association. Be very, very clear about that. Oh, and by the way, If we could just get the fucking Purity Patrol to reel in this, oh, Nancy Pelosi's got to go bullshit, and let her do what she is extremely good at, we might actually find that there will be some gun legislation proposed by this Democratic House of Representatives. There might be some health care. But no, I guess you may have seen, maybe out there, the hashtag Five White Guys trending. Led by Seth Moulton up in Massachusetts, these five white guys are putting up a generic campaign against Nancy Pelosi, even though they don't have an alternative candidate for speaker. Earlier, at one point, Seth Moulton said, well, maybe Marsha Fudge would like to have it. Wrong accent, I know. And then Marsha Fudge said, no, I'm not going to do that. It's absolutely ludicrous. But the same right-wing smear tactics that were used on Hillary Clinton have proven effective with regard to Nancy Pelosi. Witness Richard Ojeda here in West Virginia, who I guess ginned up a little bit of excitement among so-called progressives because he babbled some of the right things, but he's running for president now. And he said, I'm a Democrat, and I'm always going to be a Democrat, but Nancy Pelosi, Bruga Bruga, Maxine Waters, Bruga Bruga. Doesn't take long to figure out where that kind of crap comes from, does it? No. Yeah, who are the five? Hold on here. I was reading about this just before airtime. Article, Five White Guys Tell Nancy Pelosi to Sit Down and Be Quiet, Little Lady. Led by Seth Moulton, but not one Democrat has offered to do the one thing that would be required to take down Nancy Pelosi, that is, run against her. Seth Moulton, Tim Ryan of Ohio. And three others who are Ed Perlmutter, Tim Ryan, Seth Moulton, Kurt Schrader, and Bill Foster. Just for those who are paying attention, those are not liberal Democrats. Those are right-wing Democrats. And they're doing the Republicans' work for them. Yeah. How about that? Can't even wait to see what the Congress is going to do. No, the five white guys are stomping their feet and threatening to hold their breath until they turn blue because they just don't want to be led by that woman person no more. Yeah. It so annoys me to watch our side, or some people ostensibly on our side, trying desperately to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. God Almighty. Yeah, we're about halfway through the program. By the way, when Charlene jumped in this evening, that was a challenge. Charlene said $25, and then if somebody matches the $25, she'll add 25 more. So if there's 25, if anybody out there wants to kick in $25, Charlene will double it. Okay? And that'll take us down to... That'll take us down to 420, a magic number, if somebody will match $25 from Charlene in Rhode Island. Thank you, Charlene. Thank you very, very kindly. And hopefully, maybe if we could knock out one day's fundraising, that would be pretty huge. So there's a $25 challenge on the table. Okay? All right, let's run over to the... Because I've had about all the Dana Lush I can stand. Let's run back over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, hold on a second.
Oh, okay. Hi, Heather. Is this a great radio program or what? We let the callers put the host on hold.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Heather.
Oh, sorry about that. I didn't mean to put you on hold. I sent you a note real quick, like, and, oh my God, I was so, I'm appalled by what happened in Chicago not long ago, to the security guard. I was doing something on Facebook. I was talking to somebody from school, and, I broke. I finally said, we got to start caring about black people, damn it. And God knows I should have said it sooner. But I broke. It just, this is, we can't not care about people that live here.
Well, we can't, but we, well, you know how it goes.
Yeah, I know, but I was shocked at myself. I finally broke and said, hey, we need to start caring. And it just, I mean, like I said, I should have done it before, but I live across the lake from Chicago, and I probably should have been watching some of the stuff on Channel 9 about this, but it's terrible. The guy had a shirt that said security on it. What?
Yeah, but see, if you're... he had a shirt that said security on it, but he had black skin sticking out of the shirt, so that meant if he had a gun in his hand, he had to be the bad guy with the gun. I mean,
exactly.
I hate that I can so blithely describe it as such, but it seems pretty damn clear.
But it just... Oh, but no, I finally broke, and I couldn't believe I did it. But I'm like, this is, and I have a friend who, quite a long time ago, she posted that thing where it said something about, it's not that everybody's life doesn't matter. It's just that we're trying to focus on the black lives right now. I don't remember what the uni or whatever it was had said specifically, but it hit me. And
well, Heather, what happened as soon as Black Lives Matter rose up, then racist white people, most of them Republicans, began hollering, "All lives matter. Why you got to act like it's just the black lives," when that is not what was being said. The whole,
mm-hmm.
It was willfully racist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If that clears things up any for you.
Oh, yeah, it does. Oh, and I am in agreement with you about Nancy.
Thank you. Good.
I will let you know that. I seriously, she's really damn productive. Don't cut your head off. Don't go ahead and try to chop her head off, please. Support her. And I will say, I guess it was, what was her name? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Right. Who showed up at a protest at Nancy Pelosi's office.
And she was, I think she was, supposedly she was trying to support Pelosi, which is okay. But people don't want to, but for some odd reason, the media didn't want to pick that up. And heaven forbid, some lady from CNN, who is employed by them, God forbid, she actually spelled it out, and she did it in an awesome way. And I said, I saw so-and-so talking about that this morning. She explained it. And Stephanie Miller, God forbid, I go to her chat room. I'm in a smaller chat room, and I've got some friends from there. And we just go for the camaraderie. We don't go to listen to her. I know it sounds silly. We don't, I mean, we listen, but we just kind of go and we chat with each other. And we're just, you know, there's not many of us, but when one of the other ladies in the chat room mentioned that, I was very pleased. I said, I just saw something about that this morning. Take heed, people. But Stephanie won't. You know, Stephanie doesn't always take heed of shit, but we won't go there because I don't want to go there right now.
Yeah, I agree.
But I just figured I'd call and say hi and thanks for listening.
Oh, well, you're more than welcome. And I'm, you know, look, thank you. You know, thank you for being an ally. Thank you for recognizing the fundamental truth behind Black Lives Matter. And I, as a painfully white guy, I'm probably the wrong guy to say that. But no, thank you. Thank you. It's important. Very much so. So you have yourself a good evening, Heather, and take care of yourself.
Okay.
And watch
too,
out, because I hear it gets cold up there.
Oh, gosh, yes. It does.
I guess we're under a winter storm advisory this evening. That's going to be cold and hateful.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, our low tonight is 33, so, you know.
Well, it's supposed to be 36 here tomorrow and sunny, which isn't bad, but you never know about the snow.
Oh, well, yeah, if I was filthy, stinking rich, I would leave here on the first day of autumn and fly to Australia or New Zealand or both, hang out a little here, a little there. And then on the first day of spring, well, okay, I'd wait probably about a month, but fly back and never deal with winter again. And autumn is, you know, I love the fall colors. Yeah, they're the colors of death. Autumn is just winter's pissy little baby brother. So, you know, we got that going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm cranky, I guess. Heather, have yourself a good evening, dear. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Calling from up in Michigan, where it's probably a lot colder than it is here, and I should probably just shut up. That's Heather. Meanwhile, over on the other line, we have someone calling from somewhere where maybe it's not quite as hatefully cold. Hey, Todd.
Hey, I wish I could agree with you, but weather-wise, rain for 3 or 4 days. About
cold, shitty, miserable rain.
Shitty, that cold, wet blanket, you know.
Can't go out and play with the grill kind of rain.
Oh, we're super saturated. I think, unless I was dreaming, they were calling for, the weather people were calling for snow in northern Louisiana today. Hold on. I'm looking on the phone now. Let's see. All right. Yep, showers, 100%. Well, it's raining now. It's going to rain all the way through tomorrow. It's been raining for 3 days, so there'll be trees falling and stuff like that. But hey, 45 is warm. It was freezing. Anyway, that's not long. Yeah, so anyway, I wish I could say that. It'll be warm. You know, it's weird here. It'll be freezing cold. Next day, it's nice out. You never know. This is why people come down here to golf. I call because I would like to hear John from PA and Hung Like Jesus to call in. And if I don't hear Ron from Raleigh, I'm coming up there. God damn it.
Ron does not call.
I don't give a fuck. I said what I had to say.
The gauntlet has been thrown down, damn it.
We can duel. This is South Carolina, nigga. What? I'm telling you. No, this is, man, come on. I know he writes. I can write. So what? Everybody writes. Well, look, come on.
But I'm not used to people calling out other members of the community, Todd.
Well, it took a lot. I wasn't even going to call in, man. I'm serious because I listened to that Friday show. I don't know who said if my skin wrinkles anymore, it's going to fall off. That shit cracked me up, man. I had trouble hearing it at some point from Friday, but yeah, that was hilarious.
Well, there are always some gems in a Friday on the front porch, and I had a note from Steve from New York saying he thought that was one of the best ever. I mean, my God, I'm still not over Steve from Georgistan and the bubble gum you swallowed in 1980.
There were a lot of interesting statements, and Uncle John, as Steve says, was on fire. Oh, he was on fire. I had no idea that his Harry's. Well, I shouldn't say that, but whatever. His Harry's blades were on hold. But in other words, I didn't know he had a long beard. That's cool.
No, he started it when Trump was elected, and he has vowed not to shave it, not even to trim it, not to pluck a single hair until Trump is gone.
Well, shoot.
That's a hell of a commitment.
So, does he play guitar?
I don't know. I didn't ask. Why, are you thinking ZZ Top?
ZZ Top?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, did you hear that some of the witnesses were saying that the guy in Chicago, the security guard, had an orange vest?
I've read a lot of conflicting reports. I know he had something on that said security.
Mm-hmm. Well, on public radio, they interviewed a woman who, you know, she claims, this is just a report, she claims that she lives across the street. She claims that she used to see the guy working all the time. That's what, you know, because she lived across the street. And she said he had like an orange the vest like someone working on the highway might have on. And, you know, it's a shame that we had to go through all these changes because at the end of the day, the guy was doing his job. And I liked what you played. These people, it's amazing. The arguments that they try to make, all they do is discount their own argument the more they talk.
Well, I don't know that they mean to, but it is what it is. It's dangerous. You know, because you know, the NRA isn't going to back down an iota. They want people that they want this country to tear itself apart, and they feel like they've got the numerical advantage in terms of guns. So naturally, they say, oh, we represent every gun owner, you know, until one of those every gun owners, you know, shoots up a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Or until one of those every gun owners turns out to be a black guy who gets blown away by police. Again, this is again with the dog whistling and the code talking. What they want is to eventually get into a place where the National Ruble Association's cultists start shooting at people who don't have guns. And I've got a story right here. Let me say as a preface, I was really pissed off about the disrespect that Trump showed to the United States military, and in particularly the Marine Corps over there in France. And then he doubled down on the disrespect at Arlington on this past Monday. But work with me for a minute, Todd. Is it possible that the reason he didn't show up was because he was so far out of his goddamn mind that he couldn't be seen in public? Could he be that far gone?
Are you really asking me this question?
Well, I mean, was he maybe at that point where he wouldn't put his clothes on and was just walking around playing with the little mushroom?
Look, playing with the mushroom's okay.
Well, there's a time and a place for everything, and doing it in front of the largest American military cemetery outside the United States is probably not it.
Let me start off with C-SPAN, the Washington Journal, because the look on the host's face, it was just unbelievable. Everybody was just like, what? Like, first of all, why the fuck did you go to France if you're not going to show up? All you did was talk to Putin. Okay, so let's just put that aside. That happened. You're going to come home and not show up at Arlington? At Arlington?
Right, that's kind of what pushed it over the edge for me.
I can understand, because, like, I totally agree. Let me back up a little bit. I'm so glad you brought up the pill, the medication. I'll be nice about this. The medications. Because remember, we've been dissecting this guy. We already know.
Pills to the gills.
Pills to the gills. Now, look, we know he's taking Adderall or, something like that. And he might be snorting it. We don't know. But I guarantee you, they're giving him pharmaceutical methamphetamine, pill speed. Adderall, something like that. Because there is no way in hell that he was able to do those Nazi rallies all over the place when he should have been working. There's no, even all the emotional boost in the world will not do that. And we all know that the White House doctors, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to talk too much, but yes, right, pill to the gills. And guess what? That shit, after a while, you got to crash. That's just biology. You got to crash.
See, he did show up for one ceremony where he stood around shifting from one foot to the other and struggling to keep his hands his hands at his sides. He was doing everything but chewing the air gum, okay?
I didn't see that. That's terrible. That's a terrible sign. Oh, no. That's not good. That's not good at all. Oh, no. So he was showing all the signs of a speed freak. Okay. Oh, look. You're not surprised. That's exactly why you said what you said. Right. So, okay. So, see, the thing is now, he is so firmly entrenched in his sociopathy and his I hear everybody talk about his narcissism, but you know what? Honestly, you have to be somewhat self-absorbed. Anyone to think you have the audacity to run for president of the United States, you have to have some sort of an inflated ego. So that part doesn't concern me so much. He's such a sociopath, and people are like, well, I don't understand why he couldn't do this. You see, he's like a textbook case of a sociopath. If you look this up, he checks all the boxes. He has the inability to be contrite. He really has no conscience. So he doesn't know what it's like to feel bad about someone else. He does not have the capacity in his brain. His brain isn't wired like that. He really can't do it. The two times I've seen him apologize, the first time was after the BuzzFeed tape. And he looked indignant, and he was like, oh, my God, they're making me say this. And, you know, what do you – and at the end, he still was like, ah, this is bullshit. What do you think? What do you expect? The second time I saw him apologize, me, this is just me, was when they started to do this family separation. And he was in the meeting room in the White House, and he had his hands folded. And he was forced to back it up a little bit because of the court. And he had his arms folded on his chest. I mean, he looked just like a petulant
child. The arms across the chest Mussolini look?
Correct.
That one? Where his mouth is turned down at both corners into a smug scowl.
I won't eat that broccoli. I won't do it. That one.
Well, I'm about to scare the shit out of you, Todd.
Oh God, what happened?
Well, I got a clip of him here. Now, from last night, and I played it again today. It's Josh Bernstein calling on people in Washington to murder police. I mean, hell, I got issues with the police, but I don't want anybody.
Who is this guy?
He's some right wing blatherer. Okay. I mean, there's a billion of them. You know, little
police for what?
Well, for trying to take our law abiding guns.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, no, that's okay. That's okay. Let's go back and let's hear it again. Okay? Stand by.
Defy. That's right. Defy Initiative 1639 and do whatever it takes to secure their Second Amendment rights. I will leave it at that. I don't want to say much more, but I'm sure you understand, and you can read through the lines. I am a huge supporter of the police and law enforcement. I always have been, and I always will be. But I'll tell you right now, I won't shed one tear, not one tear, if I find out that an officer is wounded or killed trying to confiscate weapons from law-abiding citizens in any state.
You got that?
Yeah.
Is that chilling?
That's not good news at all.
Okay, so then we get to today.
So that's anarchy. That's anarchy.
Well, yeah. So then we get to today, and I guess they got him retitrated or whatever. So they let him out in public, Trump.
Of course.
And again, this is today. Listen up.
Wednesday warned members of the anti-fascist.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is a report from the Hill. It's from the Hill, so let's listen to their newsreader instead of actually seeing the clip.
President Trump on Wednesday warned members of the anti-fascist movement, commonly referred to as Antifa, that opposition to them could be, quote, tougher and much more violent if their critics decide to mobilize. Quote, they better hope that the opposition to Antifa decides not to mobilize, Trump told the conservative outlet The Daily Caller in an interview, because if they do, they're much tougher, much stronger, potentially much more violent. The left-wing Antifa movement is known for its direct protest of events and figures that supporters accuse of spreading white supremacist and fascist ideals.
So you got that? So he gave an interview to the Daily Caller, which is a white wing vomitorium run by Tucker Carlson, racist. And he said to them, her voice just didn't work. Let's use the real
no,
voice.
No, he didn't. Yeah.
They better hope the opposition to Antifa decides not to mobilize, because if they do, they're much tougher, much stronger, potentially much more violent, and Antifa is going to be in big trouble. But so far, they haven't done that, and that's a good thing. He just dog-whistled the Nazis to go into the streets, Todd.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because that's what it sounded like to me, and it sounds like he doesn't care. He is ready. He is ready. Now what was it? Two weeks ago, he called himself a nationalist in an interview in front of the whole world.
Right.
Which is just – I would like to say this. I think we should all stop feeding into this Luntzian euphemism chasm of a black hole bullshit and stop with this fucking niceties. White nationalist, you're a fucking white supremacist. That's all it is. You're a Nazi white supremacist or a Klansman. You know, it's just all there is to it. Don't these euphemisms do not help the situation. That's my opinion.
No, you get no pushback from me on that.
Okay.
Fascists. Well, why don't we just start calling them what they are? Fascists. I mean, if people are all squishy about using the word Nazi, then fascist. Because admittedly, Nazi is a particular kind of fascist. You know, Antifa.
Right.
Antifa has the right idea. They are against fascism. They're not anti-Nazi, they're Antifa.
Bob, let me interject one second. Now, this brings to mind something you've said that I've been thinking about for some time, and it really is holding, it's amazing. These folks, it's the truth. If you look at them from top to bottom, the right wing, these crazy right wing people, their talking points now are total, almost absolute total projection. Whatever, even Trump.
You can use that term with more authority than can I, because you've got the training.
Exactly.
But it sure does feel and look and feel like projection. But with the, you know, I'm sorry, I'm chilled by this statement. Dog whistling the fascist violence mobs out into the street.
About this is what scares me, and I don't know how this is going to land, but I'm just saying from what I've seen. Remember, we have factions in the military who are down. They are down with this program totally, 100%. Okay, and people are going to have to make a choice pretty soon. Are you going to back this criminal president who gets his advice from people on cable news like Alex Jones?
More, you know, before the elections, I said, after the elections, if they win, they'll go nuts. After the elections, if they lose, they'll go nuts. And here we are. He just gave a pass to any violent fascist outfit. To what? Yeah. To go in and do violence to anybody that they determine is Antifa.
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like exactly how this whole thing has been playing out, and the media is at fault. The media should have drawn the parallels. You don't have to make commentary. There's between news commentary, news, and commentary. Three different things. News commentary, and then commentary, right? Like Rachel Maddow is news and then commentary. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay, so at some point, because most of these people, they're supposed to have degrees, and all that means is that you should have had history, okay? And because what I'm saying is, you know, as a former teacher, you know, it's amazing. You know, late 20th century history is really not taught too deeply. You only get that later, depending on what type of school you go to. If you go to a regular old public school, you're not getting a whole lot of modern history. You're really not, if you want to go, if you
you know, if they even teach it. So a lot of these folks don't even know what we're talking about. You know, people in their 30s, they might not even have any clue. This shit's frightening. What I'm getting at is that the parallels, you know, the fighting against the press from the beginning, he came out. The orange fascist, he came out from the beginning saying the press was lying and don't believe the press. Okay? Then what did he, it was it, the whole, this is the whole Nazi playbook. Then he got his minions together. He got certain people he could put in government, in his campaign, in different positions that he would insert in key positions, just like Hitler did. Okay? Goebbels was the propaganda person, I believe. So you got Steve Bannon. Then he has Miller. You got Stephen Miller, Stephen Bannon. You know, it's not exactly the same. This is American fascism 2.0. See, we've had a fascist coup. It's in here now. It's in there. And they're in the Supreme Court. Kavanaugh's a damn fascist. Why do you think they shirked all the rules to put his dumb ass in there?
Exactly.
I mean, I don't hear anything from you. Please, say something.
No. I mean, you're doing fine.
Sometimes I think I'm going crazy. I don't know what's going on here.
No, you're not going crazy. And from that same interview, they had to get him pills to the gills to get through this interview. One weird little dude who was in on the interview described him as lively, telling jokes, upbeat, peppy.
Peppy. Oh, no. Pepe and Pepe.
So get this. They asked him about why Republicans lost the House.
Mm-hmm.
He answered as follows. The Republicans don't win, and that's because of potentially illegal votes. When people get in line that have absolutely no right to vote, and then they go around in circles. Sometimes they go to their car, put on a different hat, put on a different shirt, come in and vote again. Nobody takes anything. It's really a disgrace what's going on. Take a breath. Don't say anything yet, Todd. The President of the United States just alleged that there are millions of people who change into disguises in their car to go and vote twice. If we go silent for a minute, it'll be because you and I have both simultaneously decided to go outside and eat dirt and run rabbits. What proof does he have? There's no proof. It's just what the spirochetes are fucking telling him.
I haven't heard. This is that. I mean, I haven't been around, but what I don't understand. In what context did this come out? I don't understand.
This is that same interview with that right wing rag Daily Caller.
Oh, okay. So he's telling the truth. He's letting his hair down. Okay. Well, that's fucking insane. What the hell is this problem? Oh my God.
He went on and said, if you buy a box of cereal, you have a voter ID. They try to shame everybody by calling them racist or calling them something, anything they can think of when you say you want voter ID. But voter ID is a very important thing. In the America that exists only in what passes for the remnants of Donald Trump's mind, if you go to buy a box of cereal at the local grocer's, say I go up to the Wiggling Pig, I have to show a voter ID to complete my purchase of a box of sugar-frosted super chocolate bombs. Really?
Well, Bob, the problem is that he has a cult Borg-like following, and they hang on...
Fuckers go to the grocery store, Todd. They've never shown a voter ID in their life to... You know, to buy their mayonnaise.
It doesn't matter, because I know Betsy. She knows me. It's those others. It doesn't matter, Bob. These people, I'm telling you, he is,
got these people. He's got their minds. They're living vicariously through him. They're the Borg. They are the Borg. It doesn't matter. They have assimilated. They hang on his every word. They live through him. That's it.
Well, in regard to his comments about Antifa, with the subject line channeling, Ron has rejected your invitation to call in, and writes, Herr Trump is channeling his hero Ernst Röhm. Here it is, just a few days past the anniversary of Kristallnacht, and he's calling for his brown shirts to hit the streets. And the 80th—it's true. The 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht was Friday.
Oh my God! See, Ron, you read my mind. That's what it sounded like. He was calling the Browns. He's like, "Look, the time is now." Yeah, and see, folks I listen to Jeff French and the folks. Now everybody has them isn't crazy, but most of them are. But he is. I mean, this is say they all are. But that's where David Duke has a platform on Jeff Rentz and listen to Stormtrooper. You know, and the thing is that unless the folks need to listen, you got to listen to what these people are talking about. They're serious. So these folks are ready. What do you think happened? In other words, we missed something when we let those folks in Charlottesville march around and say blood and soil. That was a dead ringer, like, wait a minute, everybody stop, freeze. Just everybody stop. The USA stopped for, like, a day. Just stop, because we have a problem. See, now we let this shit. I mean, look at our senators. We had 7 of them going to Russia over the 4th of July. We have Steve King out and out. Thank God he's out. He got voted out. But he's
no,
still
he
around.
Didn't.
He's sort of he didn't? I thought he got voted out.
No.
Oh, my God.
And in point of fact, he feels emboldened.
That's fucked up.
And there's a move afoot to throw his happy ass out of Congress. It would take a 2/3 vote. It would take a 2/3 vote of the House of Representatives, but that would mean it would take a substantial number of Republicans. But there is a move afoot to say there is no room in the Congress for the United States for a white supremacist.
What about the president?
Well, he ain't in the Congress.
There's no room for him either. Do we have to take up a collection to get Ron to call? Is this what we have to do? I'm going to press the issue. I got your glove, man. But seriously.
Well, what's hilarious? Okay, it's not so funny. I'm looking for it because I've got it queued up here. Steve King, since you mentioned him, Steve mm-hmm. King got stone cold busted referring to immigrants as dirt. And what's dirt. Really hilarious is the Weekly Standard, which is a right-wing media outlet, is the one who busted him. So he takes to the Twitter and says, "The Weekly No Standards has joined HuffPo at the bottom of the lying journalistic gutter. No question that now their purpose is to write willful lies to advance a leftist agenda. We threw this WS writer out after he disqualified himself." Weekly Stand, you know, they chucked the Weekly Standard. And then he goes on and on and says, "You don't have a tape of me calling immigrants dirt." So then the Weekly Standard said, "Don't we?"
And so I tell them, this is my answer. I'll say, "It was a beautiful, clear, still day, an October day in Iowa. The sky was blue, the air was blue just a little bit, and the sky was so full of feathers one could be the sky was so full of feathers one could be convinced the angels were having pillow fights."
He's talking about going bird killing.
Big old batch of my patented pheasant noodle soup for everybody.
Yeah, he's going pheasant hunting in Iowa there, Todd. And we're going to have a little bit of food porn because he's going to talk about his pheasant noodle soup because they'd slaughtered so many pheasants the sky was obscured by feathers from where they'd shotgunned the pheasants. Okay? And so he's just yucking it up amongst his, you know, people who he perceives to be of like mind. And really, I've listened to this before, so let me just tell you that Steve King can't do food porn like we do food porn. I'm just saying. But he decides to talk about his pheasant noodle soup.
Well, Ben, I made a big old batch of my patented pheasant noodle soup for everybody. It took us 2 days to eat it all, but everybody loved it. And when I get it all put together, then I put about a half a dozen jalapeno peppers, just whole, drop them, float them around in there. It scares off some of the people, so there's a little more for the rest of us to eat.
That's why you don't have the jalapeno peppers.
Yeah,
do me on it.
I raised a bunch this year and didn't have enough bodies. So I guess I'm going to have to go get some dirt from Mexico to grow the next batch.
Trust me, it's on its way.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of dirt. It's coming from West Coast, too, and a lot of other places besides. This is the most dirt we've ever seen. This is actually not supposed to start for another 6 minutes, is it? But so I would just kind of chat.
The most dirt we've ever seen. Busted.
What an ass. What an ass.
Should we consult Professor Spicoli for this, Todd?
Please do.
You dick.
There. Yes.
See, I'm sorry. I know you pull back on him, but you know what? A dab will do you. But what am I trying to say? Nicely placed. I'm so offended as an American by Steve King, because he's a liar, and he just makes himself obvious. And I'm telling, just like these people act like they live in a bubble. There's servers around. When they go to these places, there's people that have to wait on them. They're out. They're out and about. And he is just proving himself to be the nasty schmuck he is. He's just a nasty, racist old man. You know, it's just like that Matt Slapp character. You know, these people look normal, and it's like, you know, you want to give them a chance. Just give them a chance. You know, I give him a chance. Fine. You know, he hung himself. But his constituency obviously liked that. That's the problem. See?
Well, here's just a crazy idea. Maybe instead of trying to foment a coup against Nancy Pelosi, some of these folks could work on maybe trying to do enough bridge building to get Steve King thrown out of the House of Representatives, because there's no room for Nazis in the House of Representatives.
Maybe there is, Bob. Remember, we have
It would take 290 members of the House. The Democratic majority is going to be about 240.
Yo, we're busting the House wide open. That shit feels good. I'll be honest with you. Nat, but we have to work. But all right, you got me doing.
Because see, one of the things that did happen is that recently, back before the election, the head of the Republican Congressional Campaign Committee, actually a guy named Steve Stivers from Ohio, actually denounced Steve King and said, "We must stand up against white supremacy." Now the election's over, and maybe that's forgotten, just like the Caravan O'Doom. But if that's true, maybe there's 50 decent Republicans, I know. Why do I even continue? Who would join 240 Democrats in getting the Nazi out of the House? I mean, this guy. I mean, you mentioned this is your fault. He's sickening.
No, he's
sickening.
No, but I am sick. Wait a minute.
He was tweeting his weird little ass off over the weekend. And he saw a tweet from someone who said, "Regarding the issue of pregnancy resulting from incest or statutory rape, King told a reporter he's never heard of a child getting pregnant from statutory rape or incest. Well, I just haven't heard of that being a circumstance that's been brought to me in any personal way." I guess that means that nobody's ever actually come to him and said, "Steve, you committed statutory rape and incest." A personal way.
And so Steve King replies, Todd, leftist lies exist without original sources because they're false and manufactured accusations. The lies exist because leftists want to believe them. So there's no incest and there's no statutory rape in this country, according to Steve King. It's not that there isn't very much of it, Todd. It's that he asserts that there isn't any at all.
All right, you know what? Now you just gave me some new information on Steve King, and I'm going back to old data that I have on him that I've filed in my mind, which is there. It's pretty wet. I have a pretty wet saw. Now, this is what I'm concerned about now. This guy is out of control. He needs to go to a re-education camp because this is the deal. I'm firmly this is the same person who said, well, you know what? It can't be any date rape because we used to tell the girls to put an aspirin between their legs. And they say, you know, if they did get pregnant, they could just shut that thing down. Isn't this the same person?
No, one was Todd Akin and another was some other asshole. And the asshole with the aspirin between the knees was some multimillionaire, multi-billionaire Republican sugar daddy.
I'm so glad, thank you very much, because I did not want to besmirch Steve King's character, because it's only about the height of a dime on its face. So,
well, hold up. I mean, just because we haven't heard him say any of that doesn't mean that he probably hasn't.
Well,
get him liquored up enough, and he'd be right there.
He is. And let me say this. Too.
Get him Mel Gibson drunk, and you'll hear all kinds of fun shit.
Well, did you see him handling questions last week when he said, "That's it, I'm not. You're out." When a reporter was asking him a very relevant question about Steve King's character and his actions, and Steve King said, "I'm leaving. That's it." So he can't be confronted. But I would like to circle back to Donald Trump's mental illness now, because this is dangerous. This is endangering us all.
Yeah.
And yes, this projection thing, it's from top to bottom with the Republican Party, because that's all they have. And I'm scared of Mitch McConnell now. Now, he's a wounded animal, and he is brilliant at being evil. And he is pissed. You know, I saw his little Google ads the other day. Oh, he is pissed. But this situation now with Trump hunkering in. Now, who's running the country? Now, we had Melania come out firing people.
Right. So, and see, yeah, right. Just to interject for a moment, I've gone back to wondering who the fuck Lodestar is.
Oh, we're back to that? Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
Because somebody's running the White House. Now, Jim Mattis has been as quiet as a church mouse, even as Trump was shitting all over his beloved core. Mm-hmm. You remember Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket? Private Pyle, what the hell are you doing to my beloved core? Okay.
Yeah.
So Mattis is quiet about it. Joe Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, 4-star Marine general, quiet as the tomb. John Kelly, meanwhile, I guess they've got the long knives out for him. But here's what's in the you mentioned melanoma having higher and firepower. I had to take the Rubik's Cube out and turn it on edge and look at it from a different angle with that. Because at first I was like, oh, well, melanoma's higher. And, you know, I wouldn't pee on her if she was on fire, because she's just another privileged racist birther like her filthy husband.
Yep. And I heard what you said about Wilson's wife, and that made sense. But now you want to move on.
Well, here's the thing. The woman she went after is a near and dear advisor, not to Kelly, but to John Pornstash Bolton.
Hmm.
Now, John Pornstash Bolton is nobody I'm ever going to shed a tear over.
Mm-mm.
And so you got to, and apparently it blew up over this woman challenging melanoma about using National Security Council resources on her white Bwana trip to Africa. So that kind of made me say, what's going on here? What's this about?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily know that I've got an answer.
It feels like there's some undercurrents. It's some other things going on with this person, this woman. They said it was over staff seats, but, you know, who knew? Right, we're hearing a whole lot of obfuscation, maybe. You know, in other words, it's like about being biased against women or her staff isn't being treated right. But, okay, that's fine. That's what they say. And I think what you're saying is that we've had enough time to look at the First Lady's conduct and her, you know, her affect and how she behaves around people.
Yeah, she's disgusting.
And she's disgusting. She's just like she fucking sounds. She's a fucking cold piece of shit.
I really don't care, do you? Blah.
So, guess what? Guess what happens when you treat people like shit?
They return the favor?
That's what happens. You know, if you treat people like monkeys, they throw poop at you. So,
well, what did Andrew Gillum say? A kick dog will holler?
Oh. Yeah, and speaking of a kick dog, our president now is firm, you know, he's losing it. And you know, he's lashing out. I don't know. Now we got to figure out who's really running the country, because while he was all popped up on the pep pills, and let's remember, see, he swears he doesn't drink, and I believe that because we had enough testimony where people, they swear he doesn't drink. And we know his brother drank himself to death, and that's why he doesn't drink.
Yeah, but there are photographs of him out there holding glasses of champagne.
There are, but that was in a studio.
And I mean, this goes back to when the reign of error, when W was saying, no, I quit drinking. And yet there he was throwing back shots in Russia with maybe it was Pootie. But they were in the Hermitage or whatever in St. Petersburg, you know, the yellow walls with the white trim and everything. And he's throwing back little shot glasses of obviously vodka because he made a face.
Okay.
And I make back in the day, I made a face when I drank vodka, too, because I can't stand vodka. It's just like drinking needle cleaner.
Man, what's nice?
It's like sucking on one of those little swabs that you clean your finger with before you test your blood sugar. Tasty.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You know.
But the reason I mention that is A, Trump's a liar.
Right.
And B, the fact that he claims there's this old joke. An Irishman walks into a bar, and he looks at the bartender and says,
"Wait a minute, you know this just started off fucked up."
He says, "Barkeep, set me up three pints of Guinness." And he says, "Well, I'd be happy to give them to you one at a time." He says, "No, that'll never do. Because you see, me brother Michael is in Australia, and me brother Paddy is still back in on the old sod in Ireland, and we decided that we will gather together at this time every day, and we'll drink a pint of Guinness each and one for each other. So I got to have all three at the same time."
And the bartender says, well, okay, that makes sense. And this goes on for a couple of years. And then one day, he walks in and says, barkeep, set me up 2 pints of Guinness. And the bartender, recognizing the significance of 2 instead of 3, takes on a solemn tone and says, oh, Mickey, I'm sorry, man. Which one was it? Did Michael go or did Patty? He goes, oh, no, they're fine. I just quit drinking. So, you know, there's I don't drink, and then there's I don't drink. And I've never been inclined to believe that that Donald Trump is one of those lips that touch alcohol will never touch mine. Your lips? No, okay. my alcohol.
You know what? You went where I was just about to say this. You got to think through Trump's filter. What he's saying is that I don't get drunk like they do, and I don't drink cheap liquor. So what he's saying is that I might have champagne if it's good, if it's an occasion. If I feel like it, I'll drink, but I'm not like them. I'm not, you know, because he's always better than everyone else. And if he does it, well, you know, this is an exception. Now, the reason I started with this is that I don't know. Who knows? I don't think he's into the drug. I think because if someone of his age, if he was really anti-drug, pills are okay because they come from a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I was trying to say because, you know, he'd be totally okay with pills. And he's too stupid to understand that there's methamphetamine, you know, pharmaceutical meth in pill form is readily available and highly potent and highly addictive. But, yeah, I've seen those pictures, you know, and that's when I got to know him in the early 80s when he was going to Studio 54. Sure, everybody was doing coke and drinking and all that. And, I wasn't around him, but, I mean, he was in the B section every day, you know, in the New York Times. But this right now, he's run his course. The lid, whoever heard of that shit, they were putting the lid on, he's gone insane. They have to sequester his ass.
Until they can get the meds right again.
But you see, this is bigger than this. What we're talking about, we're vulnerable now.
And see, the other thing is
exactly what Putin wanted.
David, your neighbor David down there said Russian media have been ridiculing Donald Trump from right before and during Paris. I don't know if this is what cracked him. But yeah, they've been making fun of him left and right.
Well, he's a dupe.
He's a stooge.
He's a stooge.
With apologies to all stooges everywhere.
Right. But you know what? We don't know. We do not know what is going to happen now because he sees the pressure. Listen, the pressure. Remember, see, a lot of stuff, because they don't talk about it in the media, doesn't mean it's not happening. They have his accountant. I think Weisberg is his name. It starts with a W. They have his personal accountant. Because remember, his whole business is just a whole portfolio of LLCs, you know. And one guy's handling all that. They have him. They have, you know, Mueller's team has him. Mueller's team has a lot. They have everything. Remember, I think he has the power of the NSA, which means that, you know, because everything we do is all documented everywhere. All they got to do is just say, hey, I need that number, boom, 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 this time.
Yeah.
And they have it. But this is why I'm
concerned. Oh, no. Mueller lives in Mueller's just walking among the spirochetes. He lives in Donald Trump's skull now. And he's, you know, he's over there. He's in a little cyber condo next door to Hillary Clinton because she lives in his skull, and Maxine mm-hmm. Waters lives in his skull. And he is, well, see, like this interview with that right wing rag of Tucker Carlson's, who by the way is another white supremacist.
Of course, I can't stand him.
That was a friendly interview, so they could get him dosed to where he could sit down with them.
and, you know, sit and fidget. Right. But by the way, serving as the ad hoc research department for the Horn this evening is Lee in New York, who simply Googled Trump drinking alcohol.
Uh-oh.
And it returns picture after picture after picture of Donald Trump with booze in his hands, including especially hilarious is the picture of him drinking through a straw, that cat's ass mouth. Oh my God. What he means by I don't drink is I don't drink like my brother and my daddy drank back when they would hit me.
Right.
And in
drunk every day. So he's like, I don't drink. I'm not a drunk like they are. So I don't drink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way, Darlene is in agreement with you. Darlene in Connecticut writes, she's cold. Totally agree with Todd's description of melanoma. She has cold eyes. She's an opportunist and knows she can get what she wants from Trump if she's strategic about it. That's her survival mechanism beyond sex. Manipulation. She's gross. So much for be best, whatever the hell that even means.
How does she get away with that? I bet you Steve in Georgia,
Because she's protected. She's protected by her white Slovenian privilege. Because you'll remember that Michelle Obama was described as everything but a black woman. When she dared to wear a dress without sleeves, she was a harlot.
Goddamn communist, goddammit.
Hey, she's, well, a communist harlot. You know how it is with them commies. They all she's just not a harlot. That's what she is.
She had on them red stockings panties on the nudie. Listen.
The evangelicals are like, what? The president's wife used to take her clothes off in front of perfect strangers in exchange for money? Well, Jesus hung out with prostitutes. I guess it's all right.
Oh, I love that, because he is their Jesus. Honest to God. And that goes, even with all the mental illness, which I'm scared of, because that wag the dog scenario, man, is so plausible now. See, you know what? We had the military. It must be the military running the country now. It's got to be. And I don't trust Kelly worth a fuck. You know, and these people are just stealing as much as they can, as fast as they can, before this whole thing falls apart. This is really sad. And he's got these damn corrupt-ass judges in there. Oh, my God. Honestly, this is just part of that last grasp, man. They're just trying to, you know, get that last bit of the power elite in before the Browns overpopulate for their taste. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know anybody who's brown who worries about, we're going to be more populous than they are. Nobody thinks about that shit. Everybody's worried about the kids going to school and trying to make more money at work and keeping contracts going. That, you know, nobody thinks about that shit. No normal people. Only race-based,
no,
only ethnicity.
White people think about brown people thinking about that. That's why it's a thing.
Well, I don't know.
It's prayer meeting Wednesday. I can't tell you how many members of the gay community of this little family community congregation, going way back and starting with my dear friend Peter Godbold, no longer with us, who once asked Bob, "Do these Christians think that gay people just have sex 24/7? Do they not realize that sometimes we just sit around and watch TV, and sometimes we just hold hands, and once in a while we'll kiss or something? According to them, we never get out of bed." And, you know, my answer to that is because they are hopelessly fascinated with something that they perceive that they are forbidden by their imaginary friend, their invisible friend, from trying. And so consequently, that's why every time one of these right-wing horses asses, one of these homophobes, one of these bigots, whether it's Matt Staver or God knows any guy who calls himself Chappie, I mean, really, Klingenschmidt, whenever they start talking about gay people in a relationship, they immediately start talking about they're trying to ram their lifestyle down our throat. And it's because they want it in their own lives. They want love. They want commitment. And more than anything else, they want a sort of unfettered passion instead of, you know, the once every 3 weeks lie back and think of England until he grunts and he's done. And I apply that to right-wing females and right-wing males. And so the same thing, I think, can be applied in the situation you're describing. White wing evangelicals and, you know, fascist pieces of shit. In other words, Trump's base. Sit around, and to be fair, it predates Trump. But they sit around obsessing about the people they hate having sex and making babies. Because there is a deep-seated terror that's almost genes deep in white America that one of these days, those people that we shit on for 400 years are going to decide it's their turn to shit on us, and then we're fucked. I don't think that's
scaring me now.
I don't think that's the case. But and in another sense, if they had enough perspicacity to realize it, they're also terrified that the genocide that they tried to accomplish against native peoples on this in this hemisphere failed. And that brown people in the form of indigenous Americans and people referred to as being Creole or mestizo are on the ascendant. Not because they're outbreeding, but simply because white folks didn't manage to kill all of them. And so I think that's a piece of that puzzle too. By the way, Warrior Witch sent a message and reminded us, Pornhub reports gay porn viewership highest in Bible Belt states. Oh, yes.
They're all repressed. You know, they need to be free, man. You know what I'm saying? If you like looking at naked women, go for it. You know, if you're gay, I mean, go for it. I mean, who the hell would want to be gay?
You know what? If you're a white winger and you're just curious and you want to see what a naked man looks like, go for it. You know, because if you're John Hagee, you can't see your man parts, and you probably haven't in 30 years. God knows Donald Trump hasn't, unless there was a mirror involved. Oh, God. Well, there went my post-show snack. The nausea.
You know what?
The nausea.
That's so nasty. I just can't imagine it, man. His hair. And I saw Morning Joe, and they were like, "Well, he is self-conscious about his quote unquote whatever that shit is on his head. I won't say it's hair, whatever the fuck that shit is."
Well, no, you can say hair. It's the only thing is, it's just one hair. It's one hair that's like 90 feet long. You remember when Precious Ivanka was caught laughing about her daddy's hair, and said it took her about 2 hours every morning to fix it for him.
We're in bad shape.
The fact that his daughter is still fixing his hair. I mean, you can just imagine Melanoma going, "No, that is fine. You fix your father's hair. It gives me some relief. Be best, blah."
You know, she is the biggest receiver of white privilege right now in this country. That woman is doing exactly zero, as far as I see it, as far as her gravitas as being a first lady.
First of all,
her fucked up ass. Look, what is be best? The fucking, it's not even correct English. It's like broken English. What the fuck?
Yeah, but it sounds great. It sounds great in the original Russian.
Well, this is the Trump-Putin president. It is, isn't it?
You saw the photo. That line was perfect. Find somebody in your life who looks at you the way Donald Trump looks at Vladimir Putin. That was Rick Wilson, right wing wag.
Man, and let me say this: I'm disappointed with Ron from Raleigh. Now I'm going to.
Oh man, let it go, dude.
I mean, look, a gauntlet is not going to dissuade me. Okay, it's going to take more than a little gauntlet that you got from the Dollar Tree. You know, so you got to go to Brooks Brothers or a reputable place and get some nice lambskin gloves to make me even take notice, because I'm going to call you out, man. You got to call in. You write well. Let me see how you speak. Even if you speak like Stephen Hawking, it doesn't matter. It's okay. You know, it's okay. Let me say this. I heard you talk about Presidious earlier today when we were talking about the classics. Was that it?
Which?
Today? On your filibuster? It might have been today. You talking about the classics. You said someone might have mentioned the classics, the Presidious. You were bringing up a story. And you were talking about the classics. And, you know, it made me think about one of the great figures. You know, Joseph Campbell. All right, the power of myth.
Power of myth, sure.
Now, and I'll be honest, I studied enough.
Oh, you mean Athena Parthenos? Athena Parthenos?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. In response to one of these candidates or something someone had said. But, you know, Joseph Campbell, you see, when you talk about the classics and Greek and Roman mythology, it didn't click with me when I was younger and I had to read. I just did enough to get through the test and get an A or B or whatever. And I didn't, because I hated it. I hated it. It was dry to me. I was like, this is bullshit. Until
oh, you must
college,
have had a terrible teacher.
They were all dry people, man. I don't know. They did not make it exciting. It was very dry. It was so dry. I was just so done with that. So I just did what I could. So then I get to college, or I don't know, I get to college, and then in philosophy class, here comes Joseph Campbell. And it's like, wow, why did they teach us this way? Because what he did is that he took his thread and needle, his needle made of bone and his thread made of rawhide, and he stitched together mythology and religion and made the wonderful fabric that makes us. Because all that shit makes sense. I mean, and I'm not trying to convince anybody anything, but what I'm saying is that there is a common thread to myth and religion, and it just changed the whole way that I look at spirituality. I mean, when I really got through all, you know, Joseph Campbell's works, because if you really, for me, I can't judge anybody, this is what I'm saying for me, there's a commonality. And I'm going to give you one salient example. When we go into church and you see Jesus with the halo around his head, that comes from Egypt. That's Sun Ra, the sun god. That's what that's about.
Well, and it's also Apollo, who, curiously enough, was the sun god. The way that Christianity portrayed God and his little boy Jesus are literally, and I know what the word means, the same way that the Greeks portrayed Zeus and his boy Apollo.
The same. This freaked me out.
But I tell you what, you want proof that there ain't no Zeus? Because I got it. you mentioned chinless Mitch McConnell, and there was something yesterday.
Why'd you go to chin?
You brought it.
No, I'm just saying. Think about Sun Ra, man, and we talk about solar energy.
No, you brought it up.
So we should be doing that. We've always worshipped the sun. What's the big mystery? I just had to get that off my chest.
I understand that.
We should all have. We should be fucking. We should have 2 cent solar panels. Period. Stop this bullshit. These people need to. These industrialists need to stop blocking shit. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But so a story came out yesterday. From Chinless Mitch, at Senate Majlder, M-A-J-L-D-R, my latest op-ed, will Dems work with us or simply put partisan politics ahead of the country?
Oh, they got to be fucking kidding. Are you fucking serious?
Yeah, he actually managed to say those words, and a lightning bolt didn't come down out of a clear blue sky and just turn him into a greasy spot.
That shit even come out of his corrupt ass mouth. This fucker, he's got no damn shame. That motherfucker. He looked.
I mean, why did the keys on the keyboard not just begin to melt the minute that sequence of letters was typed?
Well, and this presidential harassment that I see on the horizon is totally inappropriate.
Presidential harassment, my ass. That mother. He look.
And of course, it was published at Fox News.
Oh, Fox News. Delete. Oh, Chris Wallace was falling off on Sunday, man. He went back to his punk ass John.
Oh, wait. Okay, you're not going to be all right with this. So you know, get the hockey puck, Todd. I'm just going to share a couple of paragraphs of this. Last Tuesday, I was proud to see that the American people voted to keep Republicans in control of the U.S. Senate. But we also learned that come January, the Republican Senate majority will be dealing with a House of Representatives under Democratic control. Needless to say, the past 2 years of unified Republican government will be remembered as a period of historic productivity. Nope. Missed him by that much.
Well, Bob, I have a slightly different take on that.
Well, share it. Make me feel better, please.
No, they did win. Listen, they had been packing lower federal courts with unqualified people. They got 2 Supreme Court justices who are tools for the system. Tools. One of which was just, you know, fine, he's a partisan. We understand that, Gorsuch. But the other guy, Kavanaugh, is a straight up bought and paid for piece of shit. That is the end. Let me say this, since you brought it up. Let me say this. Now that we know for real and for sure, all this shit with the Supreme Court is political, they have to have term limits now. They have to. This is bullshit. That man is a perjurer. His finances were fucked up. Money just came out of nowhere. I ain't heard a peep out of that. Where the fuck is the investigation on that?
Crickets. Sure.
No, he killed the crickets. Monsanto killed the crickets with that Supreme Court.
By the way, granted, it's two guys sitting around talking, but this matters.
This is a thing. Monsanto killed the crickets, you said. For the women in the Horn community, family community congregation, a little bit of a heads up. I mean, I read this and went, what the actual fuck? Headline, 85% of tampons contain Monsanto's cancer-causing glyphosate.
Oh, my God.
Because the cotton is sprayed with goddamn Roundup. 62% of the samples also tested positive for aminomethylphosphonic acid, a derivative of glyphosate. I was about freaked out when I found out a whole bunch of the organic oats, a whole bunch of oat products, not organic, some maybe. I was about freaked out when I found out that oat products were full of glyphosate. Tampons? That's a lot of people that I really care about we're talking about.
Well, that sends a message, doesn't it?
And I mean, there's really no doubt about the cancer-causing properties of glyphosate. Now, in a day or two, some asshole will run, well, you know, these are amounts of glyphosate that are well beneath the amount that the EPA says is safe to consume. What about the American people who don't want to consume any glyphosate at fucking all, let alone put glyphosate in as intimate a place as say, you know, a vagina?
Just almost symbolic, if you ask me, because from this company, the Zycon B company, you know. And so they're going to go to what makes us, to the womb. They're going straight to the womb. They're going straight to the source. So they want, you know, that's some fucked up shit, man.
85% of all samples tested positive for glyphosate, 62% for AMPA, which is the environmental metabolite. But in the case of cotton and sterile cotton gauze, the figure was 100%.
Wait, repeat that, please. Anything 100%. Repeat that, please.
In the case of cotton and sterile cotton gauze, the figure was 100% for both glyphosate and aminomethylphosphonic acid.
So there are a lot of implications from that story, what you just read. There's a whole lot.
Yeah. And if you're a woman who has that terrifying conversation with her physician that begins, I have some bad news. How do you, and this news is out there, how do you not wonder if maybe, what the hell?
Damn it. Do you know, it's already hard enough. Let me back up. I don't know any man in this world who doesn't have a woman in their family that didn't have breast cancer at some point now. Okay, because women are like the canaries in the coal mine, you know, because they give birth, whatever, the way they're set up.
Right, and chemicals ingested by women can pass the placental barrier. It can pass the into the milk ducts of the lactation system.
This is a scandal.
You know, but then again, 14 years ago, I remember the study that came out showing that across the United States, the vast majority of samples of mother's milk taken for analysis contained elements of rocket fuel.
Yeah, but you see, we have too much regulation. It's too much government intruding and too much government oversight.
Exactly.
You know, that's the problem.
Yeah. Well, Todd, it's been a fan. Go ahead, friend.
No, I was just saying, you know, with the women, I mean, that's look, do you know when you insert anything in a mucous membrane in your body, the absorption rate anything
that goes through the roof. I mean, and remember, they are meant to be absorbent.
Oh God, that's frightening. And then we have all this ovarian cancer. Do you know ovarian cancer eviscerates? By the time you find it, man, you're dead. A lot of people. Not everyone.
Well,
we're
particularly well attuned to that here in Appalachia. But I thought that's sort of that's significantly more, I think, important than, hey, by the way, somebody's been shitting on the lettuce. You might want to hold off on the salad for a couple of months.
Oh, listen, Bob. So obviously you're doing a great job, obviously. And, you know, the web, I don't know if you remember web rings back when listening to music on the internet. And, you know, there's a web ring of all like-minded folk.
Yeah. Haven't heard that phrase in a long time.
Yeah. It seemed to work. I don't know. It worked for my crowd. You know, we were always able to keep in touch with the right things. So, you know, either we're going to, as a country, we're going to do the right thing or we're going to do the wrong thing, because this is it, you know. But I'm just worried about, like you said, these Dan Enders, and I know you have to go, and you're doing a great job, and people are responding, and that's
by the way, and I do have happy news, because Charlene's challenge got met, and then a little more so by our friend Henry. Thank you, Henry. Thank you very, very kindly. So that actually took us down to 395.
Yeah, that was a huge hole.
So tomorrow, at this point, tomorrow will be 595. But, you know, maybe if we can just take it down to the point where maybe we can knock it out again on Friday, that's my best hope. But thank you, Henry, and thank you, Charlene, and thank you, Tracy, for getting it all started.
Oh, I didn't hear Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Yeah, Tracy was at the very beginning. I pissed her off by putting... But because the little old blue-haired ladies put coconut in the Toll House cookies,
she don't do coconut.
No, I got on the wrong side of Tracy in a straight up hurry.
You put mayonnaise infused coconut on.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a goddamn minute. Man, did you just say mayonnaise infused coconut?
Todd said that.
Wait all this time and then go pro with 3 minutes left in the program. Todd, you have a good night, my friend.
I see you.
Later. Now I got to figure out how to infuse coconut mayonnaise with coconut. No, it's mayonnaise infused coconut, so we got to put the mayonnaise into the coconut. I mean, coconut infused mayonnaise, you can do that. I don't know how we're going to infuse the mayonnaise into the coconut. What you people do to me. On the way out the door, I had a note from Kitty in Boston, who, by the way, earlier, had when I was talking about the wonderful little things that happened on this program, Kitty had said, my favorite Steve from Georgistan line, perpetrating for Jesus. That is a good one. But I got a note from Kitty saying, before you sign off, can I ask a favor? You absolutely can. I'm having surgery tomorrow. Eek. And would kindly ask the Horn family to send me some of their amazing energy. Luckily, it's outpatient surgery, and I'll be home in plenty of time to tune in to Friday on the Front Porch. Thanks. Absolutely, Kitty. All the good, positive, helpful energy that this community has to muster goes out to you. It does, and because I love the comments I get from Kitty. I love the fact that Kitty remembered perpetrating for Jesus. That's awfully damn good. So, indeed, Kitty, I hope everything goes not just well, but fantastically, that you do not know a moment of pain, and that it's almost as though you didn't even go through it. And I hope everything winds up being the way it needs to be. Thank you, Kitty. And good luck. So that's pretty much the program. Earther said earlier,
Bob's literally walking on sunshine again. Oh, God. Meanwhile, Bill in Allentown with a message for Todd. Get off of Ron. Hey, Todd, you're one of my favorites. I called in once, and I can't hold a radio conversation for more than 5 minutes. P.S. Sorry, Bob. That's okay. That's okay. Ron knows Todd's just a fan. That's all. So, we have these moments. Be well, kitty. Thanks to all of you who helped keep the program going. Again, thanks to Tracy and Charlene and Henry for helping take it down some this evening. Thank you very kindly to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very much this evening to Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live, who wiped out an absolutely, and sent me the food porn to prove it, wiped out an absolutely magnificent-looking bowl of traditional Irish coddle at a place called Kavanaugh's this evening. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you ever so much to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.